Okay, we will open we'll open the Senate Committee on Finance and Revenue. Okay, so here's where we're at on the reserve fund. We are waiting for amendments, and what will be posted Thursday, maybe it's already posted for Thursday, is SJR 3, which is the constitutional amendment for a May ballot, and then SB 48, which is the construct of a statutory rainy day fund. So that will be on Thursday, only for a work session, but we'll get a good full description of it, and if we have folks who want to testify, just let me know, and we'll schedule both a, well, maybe Paul, let's just post it as a public hearing and work session, so that we give folks, since there is not much new, but maybe a comma here or a comma there that are new on those. So the reserve fund will be Thursday, and that will be the day that it moves out. I think we're still waiting from council to get the final draft, and we'll make that available as soon as we get it. Second on the agenda, so we're going to do a public hearing on Senate Bill 460. Understand from Senator Westland's office that he is en route to the Capitol, but not here right now. So we'll just start our first public hearing and then return to this again. Open a public hearing on Senate Bill. Steve, are you doing 460?
Yes.
On Senate Bill 460. How was your weekend, Steve?
Pretty good. Mr. Chair, members, Senate Bill 460 deals with gift cards, and what it does is to designate the unused value of gift cards to be property presumed abandoned, that would be treated as abandoned property after 3 years, with the 3 years starting from the last transaction on the card or the date of purchase. And it defines a gift card as a pre-funded value electronically stored on a card usable for the purchase of goods and services. It would prohibit retailers from putting any expiration date or attaching fees to the use of the cards. And it specifically excludes prepaid phone cards and prepaid commercial mobile radio services. And it would take effect January 1, 2008 for the cards issued on or after that date, and so with a three-year lag, there wouldn't be any collections of that revenue until 3 years after January 1, 2008. I have some revenue numbers there for you. They're very tentative. The information that I was able to gather isn't, there's just a wide range of values that people attach two unused gift cards, and depending on what base you choose and what you think growth of that will be affects the results after 3 years. So take the estimates with the idea that they could be way off. But hopefully they would end up being in the right ballpark.
We don't do that often where we say take these estimates and they could be considerably off, but this is a harder one, obviously, to estimate.
That's it.
Questions for Steve about the gift card legislation? Okay. Let's go with a proponent panel, and then we'll do an opponent panel and see where we're at. Lori Wimmer Whalen, Trish Smith, and then Luis, do you want to join the
and David.
Well, maybe Louise will have you be the voice of government after the extended voice of government here. Good morning, Lori.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and committee members. For your record, Lori Wimmer Whalen, on behalf of OEA's 46,000 member educators and support professionals in Oregon's public schools and community colleges, it's my privilege to be here today in support and as a requester on Senate Bill 460. This is our second time around, as you know, Mr. Chair, because you were one of the sponsors in 2005. We believe that this is a bill to protect consumers' permanent access to their values, which are owned upon their receipt of a computerized gift card. Following the lead of many other states, the education community is asking this legislature to add these number one selling items to the state's escheat law. Ever since California led the way back in the old days, every state in the union has created an unclaimed property division to serve as custodians, not owners, custodians of the people's money and the value for such things as uncashed or expired checks, stocks, insurance payments, inheritance, interest, other cash values, various other things. States hold the surrendered property forever, ready to restore it to its rightful owner whenever he or she may come forward. In Oregon, interest off the holdings accrue to the Common School Fund, which is why the education community is before you today in support of this common sense way to ensure that owners of gift cards have the same consumer protection so many other citizens now enjoy. I have heard it said that state escheat laws serve to protect people from their own irresponsibility with money. And surely all of us take pride in our financial management savvy. It could be argued that those who don't keep track of that which is owed them deserve no protection. And I hope you'll understand that that's hardly a fair position, particularly with an item as small and easy to lose as the little plastic cards. In fact, 3 out of 5 of the members of this committee appear to have money held for them over at the Unclaimed Property Division right now. And I assume that this is unbeknownst to you. Yeah. By the way, I'll speak to the 3 of you after the hearing and tell you how you may redeem your cash. For 2 of you, it's over $50.
Interesting.
Gift cards are, as I said, America's favorite purchase this year, and they are an $80 billion industry in America. That's a 20% jump, by the way, over last year. We believe that they're somewhere in the broad range of $42 to $96 million of value in Oregon alone annually. This year's, given that 10% or more of this value is never cashed, and I have seen estimates upwards to 18 or 20%, but the conservative estimate is that 10% of the value is never cashed or expires or is service fee down. It's floating money for merchants, and just like all other consumer cash that falls between the cracks and ends up unclaimed property held for its citizens, we believe that this is a logical next step given how popular they are and how much money is tied up in them. Experts say that some people don't redeem these cards either because there's a really tiny amount left on them after using a portion of them, and they can't buy anything in the store. The items are all more expensive than the remaining value, or it's not worth it to go down to the store to cash it in. Or maybe grandma gave you a card at the store whose stuff you just don't like. Or else it's just the opposite extreme, where there's a whole lot of value in it and people hold on to them with the idea of buying something that they really need that's a big ticket item, but then either lose or forget about it in the meanwhile before they've had a chance to use the card. Occasionally, consumers also face the permanent loss of the ability to use the card because a store closes or goes out of business before they have the opportunity to redeem them. Whatever the reason, merchants get basically what is an interest-free loan up front from the purchaser of the card. While the cash isn't reported as revenue until it's either redeemed or declared dormant, it is still free money for the merchant to use, with value on the book simply listed as a debt to be paid upon redemption. Some businesses, of course, have taken to issuing expiration dates or a variety of service fees that reduce the face value of the gift card. Our bill would eliminate this unfair erosion of the consumer's property as well. A perusal of retailers and merchants' own trade publications on the web is pretty revealing. For instance, restaurantowner.com states that, quote, gift cards are paid for well in advance, which means 100% of the cash is yours to use until the card is redeemed. This is to the merchant. The website goes on to say, an industry-accepted standard shows that roughly 18% of all gift cards or certificates go unredeemed, meaning the value of an average gift certificate sold is worth more than 120% of the sales price. At atmmarketplace.com, there's a discussion of the fact that gift card merchants receive what's called a free float of cash on the unused cards, often referred to in the industry as breakage. This money has a bigger impact, they say, on consumers than the combined total debit and credit card fraud in America, which is estimated to be $3.5 billion a year. ATM Marketplace article estimates that nearly $8 billion per year is lost to the American consumer in unredeemed gift card value expiration or loss. It's in the state's interest to protect consumers from this breakage phenomenon. Senate Bill 460 is a good consumer protection bill that also just happens to provide a resource to the Common School Fund in the bargain. We urge this committee to pass Senate Bill 460 on behalf of all those kids who have a Toys R Us gift card, all the caffeine addicts carrying Starbucks in their wallet, and all the Best Buy customers whose combined unredeemed value nationwide for a two-year period was reported to be over $42 million. It's not the merchant's money. It's the consumer's money. Let's help them reclaim it. Thank you.
Thank you, Lori. Questions for Lori other than which one of us is who of the three of us have there?
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Senator Burdick.
You may be a little out of date. I was one of them, but recently reclaimed it.
Mr. Chair and Senator Burdick, you are not one of my three.
Oh, my goodness.
It gets more interesting.
Mr. Chair, I just had a question. The bill doesn't really address the fact of notification of consumers that they might have something in the Common School Fund. Does that concern you at all?
Mr. Chair and Senator Burdick, I think that Ms. Soliday will probably speak to that. They have a whole program for outreach to consumers in Oregon, or to citizens in Oregon, to let them know that the Unclaimed Property Division exists and for all kinds of value, how they can look on. It's very easy, which is how I found out. You just look on the website, look up your name, and then there's a form you can download and send in and get your value. It's very simple.
Huh. And you can look up, so obviously you can look up for other people as well.
Yes, Mr. Chair.
You can't give them money.
I don't know if the mic picked that up. You cannot reclaim their money. Who's next? Tricia.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Tricia Smith. I represent Oregon School Employees. We're a large independent union representing 20,000 educational professionals working from Head Start through community colleges in Oregon. And we're here, too, in support of Senate Bill 460 as one of the co-requesters, as we were in 2005. As Ms. Wimmer-Whalen told you, Senate Bill 460 is just a straightforward consumer protection bill, and we believe it catches up with technology that has outgrown our current escheat laws dealing with unclaimed property. As I won't repeat any of the things Ms. Wimmer-Whalen said, or at least I'll try not to, but to reinforce what she said, there are tens of millions of dollars every year that go unclaimed in gift cards nationally, and that can translate to as many as $96 million a year in Oregon based on our population, depending on whose estimate you use. I have included with my testimony some of the pages from websites that Ms. Wimmer-Whalen quoted to you in her testimony for your own information. You feel free to look up the information that she mentioned. Senate Bill 460 does three very simple things. It prohibits expiration dates on plastic gift cards. Let me say that these are not printed handwritten gift certificates that small businesses predominantly use. They are not affected by this bill whatsoever. This only deals with a plastic gift card with the electronic strip on the back of it that you buy at Safeway or Best Buy or wherever you may buy it, and you probably have one or two in your wallet yourself. This gift card, in many cases now, has an expiration date on it. We believe that when you plunk down your cash for a piece of plastic that is supposed to provide you an equivalent of that cash, it should provide you an equivalent of the amount of cash you plunk down. So it prohibits expiration dates. It also prohibits gift card fees being imposed by the retailer on the face value of the gift card. Some retailers impose a fee if you use the card. Some retailers impose a fee if you don't use the card. And some retailers impose a fee whether you use the card or not, called a maintenance fee. Senate Bill 460 prohibits those fees. And finally, Senate Bill 460 says that after 3 years of inactivity on a gift card, any unclaimed revenue or value in that card is considered abandoned as other abandoned property in the state and will revert to the Common School Fund, and the Unclaimed Property Program. There it is set aside for the owner or holder of the card in perpetuity. The Division of State Lands can never get rid of that money. They must hold it, or whoever it is that's holding unclaimed property for the state has to hold that money in perpetuity. They may, however, use it and invest it and use the interest on that investment, as they do the interest on investments of other unclaimed property, for the benefit of Oregon's public education system. And we believe, and that's why we are sitting here, we think we agree with the federal government and with the states that unclaimed property is something that should be held for by the state for the holder and the owner of that property, and the benefit of that property until the owner comes should be given to all the state through the public school system. So we urge your support of Senate Bill 460.
Trish, do you know offhand how many states have, I mean, the obvious question is and I'm sure we'll hear it in terms of the opposition testimony, is don't make a law in Oregon on something that is nationwide like gift cards that would require companies to do a Oregon-specific gift card. Do you know how many states offhand have similar type legislation as this in terms of their unclaimed property?
Mr. Chair, I believe the people in the back of the room were looking that up, but let me just say...
They're waving to behind you. Louise has got it.
Let me just say that I don't believe that they would have to issue an Oregon-specific gift card. When gift cards are issued, they have identification numbers on them. They're inventoried by the store. They have to keep track of them anyway. There is no reason for them to have to keep track of them in a separate way in Oregon than they do any other state, because their business practices will require them to keep track of them.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Williams.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, David Williams, Oregon School Boards Association, and the beauty of going last is just about everything's been said. I do want to leave a couple of points with you, and one, I don't know if he showed up or not, but Chuck Bennett with the Confederation of Oregon School Administrators wants to reiterate their support for the bill as well, and apologizes that he could not be here at the start, and if he's throwing things at me, well, we'll just go on with the testimony. A couple of other points to be made about this. The question sort of to be asked is who do we think is best able to protect the consumer in their rights and interests here? Is it businesses who might have a vested interest in seeing that those dollars flow back in for the use of that business, or is it the state who is the appropriate entity for protecting individuals in the state? You know, In the current revenue environment that we live in and have passed through most recently, schools really have been at a breaking point when it comes to budgets, and we've seen that every margin makes an enormous impact in our K-12 education in the state. You know, any little tip of dollars, and I see that when I get board members calling me about, you know, $1 million state appropriations, which in a 5.3 last biennium or a 6.3 biennium appropriation this biennium, $1 million is not a lot of money, but as that translates down to a local district that is living literally on the margin, it makes an enormous impact. And you know, the folks at the Department of State Lands have done a phenomenal job in growing that Common School Fund to actually provide real dollars to schools. I mean, we're looking at $100 million in disbursements to schools this year, biennium. Something. They'll talk about it more. They'll talk about it more as they come up too. But I mean, we're actually looking at another revenue source for K-12 education that is not just marginal, but substantive dollars to schools in the state. And I know that makes a huge difference to all of you as you think about how are we going to provide adequate dollars for schools when we look at something like the quality ed model calling for an additional $2 billion out there on the horizon. So I just urge you to take sort of those different angles of approach to this bill, and one, of course, for all three of us is the approach of the populations that we serve, and that is the students of Oregon's K-12 education system, and finding additional ways to provide revenue for schools to provide that sort of world-class education that we all want to provide to students in the state. You know, and other than that, Trish is handing me, there's an amendment to the bill that would address, let me just read this. I'm like the teleprompter right in front of me here.
Mr. Chair, if I can help.
I see what it is.
This is an amendment that will be offered by the Division of State Lands to direct how they would receive this money. And I just wanted to let you know that we all, including David, support this amendment.
She speaks for David now. This is good. I wonder if we can keep that momentum going.
We'll work on it, Mr. Chair.
He artfully worked in 6.3 into his testimony. He has asked for school budget. That
and
was,
nobody said no, so I'm assuming
that was, that was very artful. Questions for this panel?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
So the normal gift certificates that you would buy at a restaurant and give to somebody for a birthday present and not included in this program?
Mr. Chair, Senator Monroe, that is correct. They are not included in this program. The bill specifically addresses only the plastic
gift cards. Okay, thank you.
And Mr. Chair and Senator Monroe, part of the reason for that, of course, is that when it's electronic, there's this digitized information cache that does transcend states and is much easier to track, and it's a low level of burden, and that's why other states have found it useful to do it as well, whereas with the certificates, those are localized, and we would consider that too burdensome and wouldn't, and of course, never intended to go there.
Okay.
Just to add, I know there's often the concern, and I think really, Tricia, I think, mentioned it, that really it's technology has caught up with the needs of unclaimed property. You know, I actually spent about a considerable amount of this last weekend at Home Depot because we're doing some work on the house, and I'm continue to be amazed when I bring back a bag of stuff that I bought over a combined 8 different trips to Home Depot, and you know they go through their accounting, and you know I don't have to have a receipt, I don't have to have my credit card, you know they identify what it was on and can charge that back to whatever source was the original purchase. I mean, you know, clearly technology has gotten to the point for large retail corporations that use these electronic gift cards to the point where tracking is not a major endeavor anymore.
This might be a Louise Soliday question, but do we have any idea? I mean, this is largely, at least at first glance, a consumer type where I as a consumer can go in and claim my unclaimed gift card and get some of the value back. Do we have any idea from other states how often consumers actually avail themselves of that opportunity, and a year and a half later they've lost the gift card or had it, I don't know if it's stolen, if that's an opportunity, and then they actually go and dig around and try to get some of their unclaimed property back to them?
Mr. Chair, I'm not aware of how this has worked in the other states. Perhaps Ms. Soliday is, but I will again reiterate, though, that the states are just catching up with the technology, and it may be that they've not had the opportunity yet. The laws haven't been in place long enough to really develop that kind of data.
Great. Be good to know if we have anything next when we put this bill back up soon. Thank you. Thank you very much. Someone has their cell phone on, if you do. It's showing up on our mics. Let's go with, if we could hold off 1 second, because I think you'll be able to answer questions. And Senator Starr and Senator George is sick, and I think Senator Starr is out of town. On business. Julie Brandis, Bill Perry, Jim Craven, do you want to join the not in support panel? Not excited about this one.
You guys go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Bill Perry from the Oregon Restaurant Association, and I want to say that it was my bill in 1997 that passed that took gift cards out of the unclaimed property. So now we're beginning to go full circle. I just wanted to first say that we were one of the first states to remove gift certificates from unclaimed property statutes. Since then, some other states have followed that lead. So I'd say, even though I think a majority of the states, which you'll probably find out, still have gift cards or gift certificates in their unclaimed property, I would definitely say, in my opinion, the momentum was moving the other way in that aspect. One of the things that when they removed it, it used to only deal with purchased gift certificates. because we didn't have gift cards back then. This bill, as I read it, deals with donated gift cards, which I think is completely unfair. If a retailer is going to donate a gift card, I don't think that should be taken for unclaimed property. Whether or not you agree with the premise of the bill, which I don't, but I do think that that's a change and that needs to be clarified if they want to move it. This, as I heard in 1997, was set up for consumer protection. Unclaimed property is consumer protection, and which I would say I think you'll be hard pressed to find anybody that disagrees with that. The question is if I'm a consumer and I have a gift card that says Sherry's Restaurants, Typhoon Restaurant, what does that consumer do? They will go back to the restaurant. They're not going to go to the Division of State Land. So where is a consumer best protected? I would say Section 4 of this bill deals with expiration dates and service charges. If you want to leave that in, once again, that's consumer protection. I think the intent of the bill is met if you leave those sections in, but the audits aren't, because the consumer is never going to go back to the DSL and say, I've got this gift card, what happens? And I do want to say, when they are talking about the gift cards, how you guys can look up online, well, look at line 7, number 2, apparent owner.
Where are you?
In the bill.
What page?
Right on front, section 2, line 7. It says, whose name appears on the record? Gift cards, no, the person that owns the gift card, their name does not appear on the record. Jim Craven will go into the restaurant and buy me a gift card because he thinks I'm a great guy. He'll give it to me. The DSL, the restaurant, nor you knows that I'm the name of record. So once again, if you're consumer protection and I have the gift card, I'm going to be more likely to go back to the restaurant. So if you're really trying to look at unclaimed property and consumer protection, the statute itself says, you know, the name appear on the record. And this is an unusual circumstance where all the other examples they use, the name actually appears on the record. This one, it does not. So you guys have no idea as a state who owns that. I will also say as a side note, money orders are in here, and I think they're a 15-year audit, and I think traveler's checks are 15 years and money orders are 7. So as you started to get in the money records, this would be one of the few that are on a 3-year basis. Second were the estimates. Actually, these estimates I think were overshot when the bill got when we repealed this in 1997. The last year of collections, to my record, and the DSL can correct me if I'm wrong, they collected $5,000 off gift certificate audits. They said in the bill that they thought they could get up to $1.5 million if they started auditing businesses. And remember, that was when you only had gift certificates. You didn't have gift certificates and gift cards. You are now exempting gift certificates. And so what you're saying is that is going to be tenfold when you're only getting a portion of the audience, because you're not auditing gift certificates. You're just auditing gift cards. And I would say from my membership, about 40% or so use gift cards. And I would just say that since a majority of them still use gift certificates, they're most likely going to go back to gift certificates on a small retailer basis. And gift cards are more costly for my members than a paper gift certificate, because the card is more expensive than the paper, and I actually have a tracking system. We do it, once again, for consumer protection because our consumers prefer it. But it is more expensive to operate as a small business. Larger retailers might be different. I know you have to ask them. But from my smaller members that have 2 to 3 outlets, it's more costly to do it on a gift card than a gift certificate. Nobody knows. And then I would say that the last thing I'd want to say is gift cards we lose money on every year. It's not a windfall. Just because when you look at the amount I sell and redeem, the amount I give away and redeem, and the added cost of the gift card, there is more money going out under the gift card system than I am taking in. Because I give away to your local school groups, to your community activities. Our independent restaurateurs are self-promoters. They're going to give out gift cards because they want people to come in. And so they sell them. They give them away, and it's more costly to operate it. So they're actually, as a gift card, they're losing money. And so I'm for consumer protection. If you want to pass Section 4 of the bill, I think that, that would be more beneficial to consumer if your intent. But, you know, from what the way you look at it for small business, this isn't going to be a lot of money. And as soon as you audit one of those businesses, they're going to remember it forever. But you throw this into this common school formula, it's going to mean very little money to the schools as a whole, because I don't think your estimates are anywhere close when you look at where they were when gift certificates as a whole were there. So to recap, I'd really like this to be limited to purchase. I think your estimates are a little bit off, and I agree with the consumer protection part of it, which is Section 4 of the bill. With that, I'd be happy to answer questions, or if you want them to go first, we can all answer at the end. But, you know, you're undoing my first bill, so it's, you know, yeah, it's a little bit personal. But so, Mr. Chairman, I'd leave your preferences. But.
Thank you, Bill. Question, well, let's... questions for Bill, and then we'll go to the larger retailers. Just a couple, Bill. So on the, I guess the basic premise, and I'm just trying to understand, are you supportive of the basic premise, which would allow the customer the access to their unclaimed property? If you dealt with the donated gift card, if you dealt with, and the ownership issue, I just think you just can't get around that. But the basic premise is the Restaurant Association supportive of, which just... says that the customer of that gift card should have some access through unclaimed property to their what they purchased.
Mr. Chairman, Bill Perry for the record again. Yes, like I said, I think Section 4, if that's your intent, accomplishes that. I think when you look at small independent restaurants, I have not, Senator Burdick and I talked about an example I'm going to follow up, but I have not found a restaurant, whether they have a record of it or not, that has not redeemed a gift certificate when they come in. These guys, you know, they're fighting for customers on a daily basis. Whether or not they know whether the gift certificate's valid or not, they're going to redeem it because they don't want to lose that customer, and they don't want that customer to tell 10 of their friends that I had a gift certificate, I took it in there, and they wouldn't claim it. Even if the state takes the money, you put the retailer in a horrible position. And so I would say my membership as a whole want to make sure that the customer's satisfied. And so I think Section 4, if that is your intent, accomplishes that. And I don't have an issue with that. The audits, I just don't think you make anybody happy in the process, well, obviously, except for the schools, as they stated. But I don't think the consumer is going to be happy with the system, and I don't think the retailer is going to be happy with the system. If you're auditing and expecting the retailer to go, well, we can no longer give you your money, you have to go down to the Division of State Lands to get it.
So what assurance would that customer have? I understand the business is in the interest of keeping customers and growing its customer base, but I think you hear anecdotally that doesn't always occur when you turn in a gift card that's been expired. So what assurance would the customer have, absent some sort of legislative action, that they would have that property that they purchased? And Julie, feel free to jump in, or Jim. To me, that's the crux of it, giving that customer some sort of assurance that they will get the unclaimed property back to them in some arrangement. And this bill at least accomplishes that.
Mr. Chairman, you know, once again, I think Section 4 deals with that. Okay, now they would have to be in violation of the law, but once again, the issue is, do you think that consumer who the DSL would not have a record of their name? They would, number one, have to present the card to DSL, and the DSL would have to be able to read it, or they still wouldn't be able to. They're going to be more likely to be able to read the card at my establishment than they are at DSL. So if consumer protection is your goal, I think you're less likely to protect the consumer with gift cards because you don't have a rightful owner, in essence, at the DSL. I just think you're less likely to be able to get your money back than you would be at a retailer if you pass Section 4. And I don't see how adding that extra step to DSL makes it easier for the consumer. You know, it just because you don't have a record of who it is. At least I have a record of the gift card. You don't have a record except for, you know, my businesses would audit it. So how is it going to be read and all those different things? Mm-hmm. You know, you can sit there and say, you'll have a system, you'll have these different things, but you really don't know. And I also want to say that all other audits that take place in businesses is on account or on expenses. payroll checks, all those different, those show up on an expense ledger. This is an audit on revenues. I mean, it's a whole different bailiwick that you're getting into from an audit perspective that is different than the system they're doing today. Everything they do today, you have a rightful owner. Everything you do today is an expense on an expense record. This one, you don't have an owner. It's a revenue sales and not an expense. I mean, it's going to add a lot more confusion to the process, and I just would argue that if consumer protection is your goal, you're less likely to have consumer protection under this system than you would be if you just passed Section 4.
So I don't want to exhaust. I have another question on that, but I don't want to have Bill have to fill all the, Well, so one other. So other states have found a way to deal with this. Whether it's the confusion, I've got to think, and I guess Louise is going to clarify that for us, but that other states have found a way, and the companies and the consumers have navigated this process, is my understanding, mm-hmm. that there's restaurant owners in other states that have similar type legislation as this in place and have found a way to navigate that.
Mr. Chairman, you can audit the business. I'm not saying they can't do that, but I guess it comes down to what is your intent? Is it consumer protection? And I don't see how the consumer is better protected than they are under the existing system than when the new system. Yeah, they can audit, they can collect the money. There may even be consumers that will go to the process, but you know, like if you're a guy out in Pendleton that's got a gift card at the Geyser or Baker, Geyser Grand, is it worth $20 to drive down here to get something that might be left on a gift card? You know, it's just, you know, like I said, from a small retailer perspective, it's not going to be feasible to do it this way if you're talking about protecting the consumer. If you want to audit my businesses, you can do that under this bill, and you can probably collect some money. But then I think that needs to be portrayed as the intent is you want to grow the common school fund. This has always been sold back in 1997 and today as a consumer protection issue, at gift cards specifically. And if consumer protection is the issue, then I think you're better served under the system without expiration dates than you would be under the system otherwise.
Great. Good testimony. Mm-hmm. Jim, are you up next? You're reaching for the mic.
Go. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Jim Craven with American Electronics Association, and I've got a little bit of a hoarseness, so I'll try my best. When I saw I was not involved in this debate last session, not knowing or thinking that it had much to do with the high-tech industry until just recently it sort of was brought to my attention that we do have large members who are in this business, so to speak. One is Apple. Apple sells iTunes download cards in almost every retail outlet, every Safeway, every bookstore. I mean, they're a ubiquitous tool. And what they are is a cash value for downloading legally songs off the iTunes website, 99 cents a song. So they would be covered by this law, is my understanding. There probably are others, but that's the one that really came to my mind. So doing some research over the weekend, it did come, I think I came to the same conclusion as Bill, and I haven't been working on this since 1997, that we seem to have a conflict here between if the goal is consumer protection versus not. What Apple does now, iTunes and many people, they freely advertise proudly on their website. If you buy iTunes gift cards, they have no expiration date. So they're telling the consumers, these don't expire. We're not going to trick you. You can use them as long as you want. What this bill would do is say that it would ban expiration dates, which I agree with Bill is probably a good thing to do. Many states have done that. But also, in a sense, impose a 3-year expiration date by saying if you don't use your card after 3 years, then it escheats to the state, and then you got to go track it down through Division of State Lands. So it's at the one point we're saying it's a consumer protection bill. We're going to get rid of those nasty expiration dates that nobody likes. Mm. At the same time, we're going to sort of impose a 3-year expiration date. And I'm trying to figure out, and I think the reason for that is to move this money in Division of State Land so we can get in the common school funds. So, I mean, that's the conflict in here, and it seems pretty apparent. I looked briefly. There are, if Louise doesn't have it, I did find a website this morning that lists all 50 states and how they treat this. I didn't bring it with me today. It's about 9 pages long, but it is available. If your staff needs a URL, I can send it to them. And the states are all over the maps. Some have escheatment laws that allow at some period of time to capture the money. Some use a sort of a 60-40 split. We're going to take the money, but we're only going to take 60%. We're going to let the retailer retain some of the value for the hassle factor and the administrative costs. So some states have gone that way. And then states like California have said consumer protection is the goal. No expiration date on gift cards, but they don't escheat. So it is all over the map. One of the questions I have today for your staff, and whether we can get an answer today, I don't know, but I looked at, again, back to the iTunes cards. It's just one thing I had a chance to look at over the weekend. They say on their card and on their website that these cards, gift cards, are governed by the laws of California. So you do have one of these potential choice of venue issues here for national retailers, and I'm not smart enough about how that works out, but if you have a national retailer that's advertises to their members, to their purchasers, that these cards are governed by the laws of California, would Oregon be able to tap into a Best Buy, Home Depot, Apple gift card situation or not? Or are they governed by the state in which they're headquartered? And you can't have a consumer and a company governed by multiple state laws over the same gift card. Seems to be that needs to be sorted out so we can tell people, is it one way or the other? Are you governed by the laws of California or the laws of Oregon? You can't do both. So, and I don't know how that's been sorted out among the states with all these conflicting approaches to the law. And then just a couple of details about the bill's way it's drafted. It does purport, as you've heard, to apply only to hard cards. You know, the actual thing you have in your wallet that says Starbucks on it. So it doesn't apply to virtual gift cards, which many e-tailers are doing. They're offering you can buy a gift card for a friend that's essentially a gift amount, and it's all treated online, and it's never results in a hard card. So we seem to say, well, if you give a person a gift that results in a credit at Best Buy online, we don't try to take the unclaimed property. But if you actually give them a hard plastic card, we do. That seems just a little strange. I don't think this definition applies to clarifies promotional cards. In other words, a restaurant or somebody who gives you a card as a customer, here, $50 next time you come in, and gives it to you in the form of a hard card, you haven't exchanged any value at all as a consumer. That's a gift. It's a promotional card, but it would seem to be covered, at least by the way the definition's written in this bill. So you've got hard card versus virtual, you've got promotional versus purchased, and then you have that real thorny issue that Mr. Perry pointed out of tracking people. Some of the ways national retailers have responded to this legitimate concern about, I don't want to lose my money. Some of the national card issuers now allow you to register online. So someone gives you a card, you get it from, you know, your Aunt Mary in a Christmas card. You can go and register it online with some of the national retailers. So then they do have a clear record. They know that it's your card, you have ownership value to it, and you have a tracking for all time to go and get your value from that retailer. There's also a really interesting secondary market now in gift cards. People trade them on eBay in huge amounts. There's also gift card exchange websites. So you got a gift card from, say, Home Depot, and what you really want is Borders Books. There are actually national websites now where you can, where customers can freely exchange value. I got $6 left on Borders. I'd rather have something else. So the market is responding to a legitimate concern. People don't want to have a gift card and have it expire before they use it. And I don't think that's what we're saying. I think we would support, you know, expiration date legislation. But there just seems to be a lot of, like a lot of laws, complexities here that are being offered to you. And finally, I don't know, are we, I guess Division of State Lands can talk about whether there's a fiscal impact to them in setting up this system, or I don't know what that would be, but it seems like in addition to the wildly uncertain revenue forecast, is there a cost to setting this up, and would you rather have the state do it than put the onus on retailers to deal straightforwardly with their customers, keep records of their customers, and so the customers don't lose that value. They don't lose it through expiration date, and they don't lose it because they're not registered. So That's my comments, Mr. Chair.
Tim, thank you. Questions for Mr. Craven. Do you know, you brought up three issues that I was not aware of, virtual, registering online, and secondary markets. All three are not aware of them. Do you know what percentage of total sales those are?
Mr. Chair, Jim Craven, I don't. I'm a fairly newcomer to this whole debate, and I'm trying to catch up, but I don't know if, this industry's pretty new, and the virtual swapping and the registration, I think, are pretty new ideas for consumers, so I'm not sure if anyone's tracked data yet. I'll see what I can find out.
It'd be interesting to know if it's a large percentage, that's obviously more important than if it's a very small. Julie Brandis.
Senator Deckert, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Julie Brandis with Associated Oregon Industries and as Retail Counsel. I think my colleague from OSBA said it well, that there's some benefit into going last because many of the arguments have already been made, but I thought I should follow up on some and restate some as well. And Jim just talked a little bit about the market for gift cards. I think you should also keep in mind that there is a growing market that is concerning our retailers in black market gift cards, and it is an extreme problem for our members, and I can probably get you national numbers on what that's costing retailers, and that is why we always urge our friends not to purchase online, because most of the time you're dealing in a black market gift card.
What does that mean?
It means they're stolen, and their value is added to them, and they're stolen, and they do a switching process, and I'm not an expert in how they do it. But they take one, and then they switch up at the counter, and I can't really explain it. I could get you more information on it, but it's a huge problem. Mm. And we're tracking it on a national level, and it's we're mostly trying to work with companies. The National Retail Associations are trying to work with eBay to prevent the sale of these cards, all gift cards online, just because there's so much black market in them. So it's an important, it's really a growing problem for us. And also, in terms of who owns the gift card, for example, if I go and purchase a gift card with cash for my aunt in Chicago, and I send it to her as a gift, the Supreme Court has, and we've talked about this last year or last session as well, the Supreme Court has two primary rules on unclaimed property. The primary rule is the last known address of the owner, and that would be my aunt, which they wouldn't know because I'm sending it to her in the mail. And the secondary rule is the debtor's state of incorporation. That's the retailer, and it's the retailer's state of incorporation, and that's often not Oregon. So that's important to know. The owner is the holder of the property, not necessarily the purchaser of the property. I agree with my colleagues that this legislation does create a bizarre triangle between the state, the consumer, and the retailer. The state, in essence, does have a 3-year expiration date, while the retailer cannot oppose an expiration date. I don't represent a retailer who doesn't support, and they're fine with having a ban on expiration dates. And for an example today, I brought in, and you can hold these and touch these if you want, or I can just show them to you. I have a variety of gift cards here, and I didn't bring all of mine because I have this problem with gift cards. I save them for like the rainiest day possible. But one of these gift cards is 3 years old, and the rest aren't. And I don't think you can tell by looking at it which one it is. But I did happen to go down and talk with the retailer this weekend just to make sure. And I said, would you have any problem knowing that this is 3 years old, valuing it? They said, absolutely not. We'd love you to come into our store and spend money. So I think that's an issue, just that there's nothing on that says the consumer loses the value. It's being held by the state for you. I think there's also an issue regarding Mr. Craven's point in terms of promotional gift cards. This meets the definition of the law. This is a promotional gift card. I have 28 days this month to use it. It's my happy birthday card from Banana Republic because I am a good customer of theirs. So, again, I think that needs to be considered as well. I think Mr. Craven also pointed out a significant problem in terms of the difference between a tangible card, one like that, and a virtual card, which is not included in the legislation based on its definition. And I received, for my birthday, one of these Nordstrom's gift cards as a $50 gift card. I received another one that is a virtual card. It has just no magnetic strip, no other identification. I can just use it anytime I want at Nordstrom's. So it doesn't meet the definition again. I think it's important to note that the state does receive benefit from the purchase of gift cards. Remember, it is income. There is an income tax paid upon the purchase of a gift card in the state. So you do receive a value. And under Sarbanes-Oxley, we can't count it as a sale until the gift card is actually redeemed. So it's retailers cannot boost their numbers in front of Wall Street by counting those gift cards as sale. As sold or sold items. And I think that wraps up just the points that I wanted to make in conjunction with my colleagues. Unless you want me to repeat the same arguments.
No, that is perfectly fine. Let me ask Julie one question just because it's fresh in my mind, and then we'll go to Bill Perry. Do you have any questions? So I'm thinking about this ownership issue, and Bill, you may want to jump in. What would be different today with that ownership? I mean, I feel like the consumer knows when they purchase. If I buy a gift card for Senator Monroe, I'm aware at that point of the dichotomy that is in play, that I am now purchasing something in my name for Senator Monroe. And what is what is the fundamental change that we're making today in that relationship that I would have with handing off a gift card to someone that I've purchased a gift for?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I think the fundamental change is you're giving a time limit on that card. And so if you do give a gift card to Senator Monroe, I'm sure he'd be thankful and appreciate it. He might, however, neglect to use it. He might stick it in his desk and forget to use it. And after 3 years, he says he wouldn't. After 3 years, if the once the Division of State Lands, in a very custodial way, holds that value for Senator Monroe, there's nothing on the card that says that. So then he decides, oh, I have this gift card. I'm going to go out to dinner now. And then it becomes that odd triangle between the consumer, Senator Monroe, the retailer, and the state. The retailer himself, oh, we've taken that value over to the state. We've created cash for it. We've given that cash to the state, which, by the way, Senator Monroe could never take that gift card in and say, I don't like your restaurant. I want cash instead. So the state has converted it to cash, is holding the value, and if Senator Monroe wants it, his argument is with the state. And we believe that argument should always be with the retailer because it isn't an argument. Our retailers value that they don't have expiration dates on their cards.
Senator Decker, this is for the record, Bill Perry. I just add to it, when you hand the gift card to Senator Monroe, he knows where to go with it because it's on the gift card. I mean, the fundamental change is now going to be is say, yeah, your gift card says Sherry's, but you can only do that for 3 years, then you got to take it to the Division of State Lands. 95% of the population has never heard of Division of State Lands, never heard of unclaimed property. And I mean, I bet you if you ask the 90 elected officials, they might not even be able to find the building that's right down the street. You know, and it's just, as a consumer, it says on the card where you're supposed to go to redeem it. If you want to protect that, that's fine. I got no problems with it. I was just going to add to, I was going to look on my BlackBerry because actually I had a retailer just send me this message. I remembered I turned it off. Especially for the independents, the theft problem is becoming a real issue. I would say that the larger retailers have some abilities to protect or not, but you'd be amazed at how many people come in, take a stack of gift cards, find a way to put a value on them, and to ship them out. I didn't realize the theft problem was an issue, but I had somebody send me a message this morning. It's becoming a bigger problem with the independent retailers just because they have a harder time protecting against it. But
and Mr. Chair, you can understand that because I believe what the state is proposing is to take the value in terms of cash. They're not taking the gift card. They're taking the cash, and they're holding that. When Senator Monroe gets the cash, I don't know how the states have other states that have unclaimed property laws have handled the black market issue. And the black market issue is only about 2.5 years old. It's the first time it started registering on our radar screen. So in the long run, you might be funding, a long-term proposal from those in the black market. And let me tell you, the retail industry, in terms of organized theft in the retail industry, is very keen on finding ways to make profit over a long time. So you better make sure you have a way to check on black market cards and make sure that you're not funding those.
Thank you for that,
Chair.
For the advice on
Jim Craven, for the record. Just one last thing that hasn't been put on the record about if this is a consumer protection debate. I think everyone has recognized in the last few years that the national, particularly the major retailers, have at probably great expense to themselves, put in place these really pretty nifty ways for you to check on that card that shows up in your desk and to check the residual value. I mean, I do it all the time. We all have gift cards, and we go in, and we, you know, $50, we buy an $18 book at Borders, and then we stick it in the desk. I mean, most of them now today, particularly major retailers, have a 1-800 number, have a website. I think it's been a fabulous advance by the retailers because, you know, in the old days, you go, oh, I think I used most of this, whatever, and you maybe toss it. Nowadays, you dial up the 800 number, and you punch in 16 digits, and the automated machine tells you you got $40 left on that card, so you go down and you use it. So, I mean, I really think the people that issue these have been trying to be consumer-friendly and not just trying to hope that people buy them and don't use them so they can book that extra.
So you don't, Jim, I mean, to me, you don't think there is a breakage there of, I mean, whether it was the two, restaurantowner.com, at which I'm sure is not a formal Oregon Restaurant Association of America, but you don't think there is a breakage issue? I mean, to me, that just instinctively, I think, yes, there is absolutely, and anecdotally, I know it too, where I would say, if I had to guess, 20, 30, 40% go unclaimed at the establishment.
Mr. Chair, I'm not arguing that those of us as consumers, I mean, sometimes we have to take responsibility for our own lives, and somebody gives us this card, best thing to do is go down, spend it all as soon as you can, month after Christmas, so you don't have this breakage issue. But, you know, at the end of the day, that there is a certain responsibility for individual consumers who have a gift card to go use it and spend it down. And I guess maybe we're going to go save everybody from themselves. But if you had no expiration dates and people had the ability to reclaim this at their will, I'm trying to figure out where the big problem in the market is that we need to solve. So.
Mm-hmm. And it's Senator Monroe.
Well, let's just clarify a little bit. I heard over and over again, I've heard from your panel, if what we're interested in is consumer protection, then this is what we need to do. I mean, we're not naive. You know, we didn't have a panel of folks supporting public schools and education up here because they're interested in consumer protection. They're interested in building the Common School Fund, and this is potentially a way to do that to, in the long term, provide more money for Oregon schools. So it's not just a consumer protection measure. It's also a measure to help direct more money into Oregon schools in the long term.
Senator Decker, it's just, I think, to actually tie into that point, remember, the gift card is more expensive for my independence to operate. You know, a gift certificate costs me 3 or 4 cents. Mm-hmm. A gift card, depending on if you want it to be reusable or used just once, can be up to $2. And then obviously there's another dollar. So even if I redeem every one that I sell, I lose money because it's more expensive to operate it. And also, like I said, this is not a profit margin to us because we're giving away a bunch of gift cards that, you know, do not count into the, obviously, if they get redeemed, we lose money and it ratchets down. So gift cards were set up for consumer protection. And so what you're saying is if I go up to the less consumer-friendly as a gift certificate, it's cheaper for me and I don't get audited for it. So a lot of my independents will switch. The bigger companies may not because they're multi-state and they got all these different units. But if I got one or two units in Portland, you know, I'm not going to switch, or I'll switch because, you know, they're not going to send them to somebody in Chicago or anything else. And so I actually think from a small independent operator, this is going to be a disadvantage to the consumer because a lot of those are going to switch back to gift certificates just because they're going to be cheaper and you won't have to get audited.
You won't have to deal with them. I mean, I would be curious if you dealt with some sort of donation issue, too, which is one of your first points of your testimony. And so I don't know which office you want to work with, but to me, it'd be curious to see if you could draft something that would deal with that. That seems very, very legitimate to me, that if I, as trying to pick a member of yours, Typhoon, donate to the Portland Schools Foundation. I don't see where, to me, that there seems to be a very legitimate issue that I'm done with that transaction at that point.
Mr. Chairman, all you could do is add purchased to the definition, which is where it used to be back in 1997 before we repeal it. It said purchase gift certificates or purchase airline tickets. So, I mean, they deal with that today. And it, to me, it's just, you know, the fact that people are donating it, which, you know, we get hit up from every group under the sun, get hit up for golf tournaments. And so there's a lot of our guys donate it, and it just doesn't seem like that should be a disadvantage to them.
I don't disagree.
I think I can support that.
Okay, you're getting two. Any other questions? Julie Brandis, a good Banana Republic customer, on her birthday gets a free gift card. From
not a free gift card, a promotional card.
Promotional card.
What's it cost?
Very good customers get promotional cards on their birthdays. Okay, Senator Ben Westland has made it through the pass. He is in the Capitol. And Louise, do you want to join him in back cleanup on this? Did you have a haircut over the weekend?
Oh, it's that bad, you noticed.
It's that good. It looked great.
Absolutely.
You didn't notice mine.
Did you?
Yes.
Oh, gosh, too. Senator Burdick, did you have a haircut over the weekend?
No. Can you tell?
It's like Don Klein property, yeah. Guess which senators had a haircut. Three of us have unclaimed property, we were told. We don't know about yourself. Waiting for us.
Yeah, I need to know.
Senator Westland.
For the record, Senator Ben Westland, District 27. Thank you very much for allowing us to testify for this important bill today. I'm here, obviously, as a proponent of Senate Bill 460. And I'd like to begin just by asking what I think is the real question, and that is, whose money is it anyway? Where does this value that is transferred in hard-earned currency to retailers around this state, where does that money go if it has purchased a gift card that has little or no value sitting in a desk drawer or envelope someplace? What happens to that money? First thing, if there is provisions within the, quote, contract of the exchange, the money will sit in a debits account or a payable account at the retailer for as long as the funds or as long as the time until the expiration date. At that point in time, once it expires, that cash then goes to the bottom line of the company. Now, look, I have nothing against these companies. I have nothing against gift cards. I think they're great, and I think that's reflected in consumer purchases not only around the country, but in Oregon as well, as one of the fastest-growing retail items. But what happens when that money then goes into the profits division? Sure, if it's got the expiration date on it, that money is in the companies. And what value has been received by the consumer for the, quote, purchase of that card? Ms. Brandis and I have this fun running dialogue in the media about lamps. She says, what happens if you buy a lamp, Ben, take it home and never turn it on? Is it of value to you? And my answer to that question is yes, because it could be decorative or I could sell it in a garage store. I've got something tangible, but with a gift card, I have a little piece of plastic. If it's expired, all that does is plug up my paper shredder. Where does that money go, and where should it go, and who does it belong to? Now, certainly the companies profit from the time they get that money, and I don't hold that against them. I mean, they can accrue the interest to their bottom line off the corpus of the off the gift card receipts. That's fine. I don't have a problem with that. But at the end of the day, whose money is it? I think this legislation is twofold. I think it is a consumer protection issue, and you coalesce these unclaimed properties in a single place where it's easy for consumers to call, say, hey, do I have any? Now, I fully acknowledge that in your example, Chair Decker, that you purchase a card, give it to Senator Monroe, you know, you're the one that whose name is of registry. But at least it's in a centralized location, and 38 states have provisions for unclaimed property to accept unclaimed gift cards. This is not without precedence. It is working in over a majority of the states. But secondly, yes, this is a methodology of increasing what I know we all want to do, the Common School Fund, for the benefit not just of Oregon schools, but for the benefit of all of Oregon. I think this is important legislation. I think it's a growing trend in terms of consumerism in this country, and that Oregon would be wise to address this situation. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Questions for Senator Wesslin? Louise Soliday.
Good morning.
You're welcome to stay or go, depending on your schedule.
Yeah, I've kind of
got it. Don't feel obligated. It's
well, I mean, you complimented me on my haircut, so.
that is no obligation to stay in our committee.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Louise Soliday, Director of the Department of State Lands. A lot of people continue to use division. Huh? We became the department in 2003. I'm here today to testify in support of Senate Bill 460. And with me is Cindy Wickham, who is actually the manager of the unclaimed property section at the Department of State Lands. And she'll help with questions if you have any. First of all, it's important to understand that unclaimed property laws provide protection to an owner's personal property until such time as the owner can be reunited with that property. And all citizens of the state derive benefits from the funds while the state has custody instead of the individual company. Senate Bill 460 provides consumer protection to citizens because they will be able their unused balances will have a remedy to claim. They will have a remedy to claim those balances. It allows the consumer 3 years to use the card without concern of expiration or diminished value due to monthly fees, and requiring the unused balances to be remitted to the state as unclaimed property after the three-year period has expired provides the consumer with a mechanism to claim the proceeds at the end, at any time in the future. The issue with the gift card is not without benefit in this situation. In addition to being relieved of any liability related to the obligation, there is an economic benefit derived from the cash received at the time of purchase. Although the terms escheat and unclaimed are often used interchangeably, there is an important difference. Unclaimed property is forever available to the claimant. Escheat is only available for claim for a limited amount of time, and then the holder of the property assumes ownership. Currently, when a gift card expires, the issuer enjoys the windfall of privately escheating the property. The courts have ruled continuously that private escheat is contrary to the primary objective of unclaimed property laws that gives the state rather than the holder the benefit of the use of the unclaimed property until claimed by the rightful owner. Senate Bill 460 directs the benefits to the citizens of the state rather than the individual businesses. The department suggests that the bill be amended to ensure that the unused balances on gift cards issued by out-of-state entities be reportable to Oregon, and we will work with the bill sponsors to develop language if the committee is interested in moving forward with the bill. And finally, I want to remind everybody, and it's been stated already, Oregon's unclaimed property is held in trust in perpetuity in the Common School Fund, and the earnings from those funds are available for distribution to Oregon's 198 school districts each year. Thanks for the opportunity to testify, and we'd be glad to answer any questions.
Thank you, Louise. So, question. After 3 years, my example with Senator Monroe, he calls me up and says, Ryan, the $100 gift certificate, that you'd be lucky if you got $100, that you purchased for me, I no longer have the card. It was in my wallet that I cannot find. Walk me through the process that then I call or go online, and how simple or not so simple is it for me to reclaim that $100?
Mr. Chair, it's a relatively simple process. You can go online. DSL has a web-based permit or claimant application process. You go online, you download the form, you fill it out, you provide supporting documentation to prove that you are who you say you are. You send it to us. We process that claim form and return the money to the rightful owner.
And about how long would that... So the proper identification, if I had my driver's license, would that do?
Mr. Chair, generally a driver's license is adequate for proving that you are who you say you are.
And this is, and we are 4 years in now. Can I still do this? And that's transaction with Senator Monroe that I mentioned.
Mr. Chair, you can do it in 4 years, or you can do it in 40 years.
Okay. And how long would that?
He'll still be around in 40, but I won't be.
Mr. Chair and Senator Monroe, in that case, your heirs can do it for you.
And how long of a process? One of the prior panel's testimony was that it'd be, I forget the words, but incredibly complicated and very difficult for me to actually, and how long would this transaction take place?
Mr. Chair, I believe at this point we're processing claims within about a 30 to 45 day period of time.
So a month to a month and a half. And what was my fourth? How often? I think some of the criticism also was that folks never actually access the Division of State Lands, and so they would never. If I say it was a Sherry's card, I think it was the example. That was one of the criticisms, is that folks just aren't able to access the Division of State Lands. How many Oregonians do avail themselves of your website or?
Mr. Chair, we return about $10 million in assets each year, so we have a number of people. I don't, Cindy, do you know raw numbers of people?
Mr. Chair, for the record, I'm Cindy Wickham, the manager of the Unclaimed Property Program for Oregon. I don't know how many web hits we get in a day or even in a year, but I can tell you we paid out 18,000 claims, give or take a few, last year.
18,000 Oregonians. Navigated that system and reclaimed their property.
Ever since Oprah came out with a wheelbarrow full of cash on her program and talked about unclaimed property, most people in the United States are aware of it.
This is like the most exciting bill we get. We get Oprah Winfrey and wheelbarrow of cash, and Julie's got her Banana Republic card.
Mr. Chair, I'd also say our unclaimed property section does a great job of publicizing the fact that the program is at the Department of State Lands, and people in the state of Oregon generally know that that's where unclaimed property is held and is available. And as she said, 18,000 people were reconnected with their property last year.
And Steve, you had a question.
I just wanted to clarify, if Senator Monroe still holds the card, who has to file the application? The holder of the card or the giver of the card?
Mr. Chair and Senator Monroe, or staff, I would say if Senator Monroe has got the card, he can bring it in and claim it.
Okay. How many states, you mentioned you have information, that would have a similar type statute? One thing we'd want to be conscious of not creating, which seems reasonable to me, a new exotic form of gift card legislation. How many states have similar type legislation on the books?
Mr. Chair, there are 38 states that include gift cards and gift certificates in their unclaimed property statutes. Now, there are probably a number of varieties of how those are implemented or in their statutes, and we can provide more specific information on that.
So would it be a fair statement to say that we are in the minority of states that have not dealt with this issue at all?
Mr. Chair, that's correct. We're one of the 12 states that do not include it.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Appreciate the time. That is it. We will... Louise, I had one other question. I'm sorry. The whole issue of donated, where an independent establishment donates something to a 501c3 or a golf tournament. Is there a nimble way to deal with that?
Mr. Chair, I would suggest that on line 17 of page 1, in front of pre-funded, you put purchased.
Purchased would be the, and that would?
Yep, I'll do it.
Okay, so can we, Steve, can we have that?
Sure.
We'll save Bill Perry the work of getting that drafted.
Okay.
Thank you. Appreciate the time, Louise. Okay, so we will close the hearing on Senate Bill 460. Probably like to post that for Paul's gone sometime next week again, so folks know. And we will adjourn until 8:45 tomorrow. Close public hearing and adjourn the committee.